Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Medical Monday, and with us today to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry for 35 years, maybe, in the Hudson Valley. I've lost count. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. Dr. Tooman is the author of the Amazon bestseller, Ask the Foot Doctor. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. You have a question? Give us a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. If you have a foot question or a toe question or a bunion question, voxpop@wamc.org. That's the email address. Dr. Doug Tooman, how are you?
I am great. It's good to be back. You know, I can't believe how many people listen to this show, and they all have one question for me.
What's
about
that?
The show. What is Ray really like? Tell me
I
about
hope
Ray.
You don't tell them.
That's what everybody wants to know. What's Ray like?
Well, you know? I don't know. Pretty much the same way, only, you know.
That's what I tell him.
Fewer swear words while I'm on the air. That's about it. So anything new before I hit you with a really deep question?
Anything new? Everything is new. But what's the question?
Okay, so we're talking about this in the newsroom, and I'm not going to lie. I was a little taken aback when I saw the pictures. Apparently, they have shoes that have individual toes on them. I want to know what you think of this. To me, it's an abomination. What's your thought, Dr. Douglas Tooman?
I agree with you.
Really?
You don't need left and right socks either. I will say that. That's like a weird thing, too.
But these are some pretty big names.
Right.
And so what is the thinking
behind it? It's innovation.
Behind it?
The thinking behind it is that they're going to separate your toes and you're going to get more exercise for your toes and you're going to keep stronger and you know, balance might be better, and you're going to use your toes more effectively and efficiently.
Any evidence that this might be the case?
Well, keeping your toes strong is really great for seniors. A lot of people get weak, and when you fall, you're going to fall because your feet give out. A lot of seniors have fall risk issues. They break a hip.
Right.
If you can keep your toes strong, if you can keep your foot and ankle strong, then you have less fall risk for a lot of people. So I'm always giving people exercises to strengthen their toes, and maybe there's some validation with that. People think that there is a good correlation between toe strength and lack of falling.
You ever watch Belly? Not Belly.
Belly Dancers.
Belly Dancers. No, I've watched a few.
Watched them.
You ever watch Ballet Dancers? Oh, what a giveaway. Do you ever watch a ballet dancer?
Of course.
How do they do that with their toes and still manage to walk in their old age?
Well, they don't, because I see them in my office.
Really?
And they're... You sacrifice your toes and the beauty of your foot for ballet, especially between the ages of 6 and 13. And unfortunately, it messes up. People get more bunions, hammer toes, and things like that. But it's a beautiful art. It's a beautiful thing to watch ballet dancers.
What is the toe that people break the most? Is it the big toe? It's the little toe? It's the middle toe? What's the toe?
You sound like Seinfeld now. What's the... So the little
What's
toe...
What's the deal with that?
Right, exactly. The little toe... we call it the fifth toe, the baby toe, the pinky toe. That is the most commonly broken bone in the body.
Why?
It's called the bedpost fracture.
Oh.
And you got a bed at night, and you walk and you hit your bed along the bedpost or a piece of furniture, you break your toe.
You can't do anything for that, right?
No, you can.
Really?
It's very important. Actually, one of the chapters in my book is called Broken Toes, Let's Set That Straight.
Yeah.
And the reason I recommend people when you injure your toe, you go and get it looked at because there are different types of broken bones. If you break it and there's dislocation, it needs to be set properly. Otherwise, you can get arthritis or hammer toes. A lot of them, no treatment is necessary, but many, if you don't treat it, you're going to end up with a funky toe.
Okay. The guest today is Dr. Douglas Tooman. If you have a funky toe, give us a call. 800-3- That was my second album,
the band
by the
is
way.
Back.
800-348-2551 is the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. John writes in. And a little inside baseball here. John is a retired radio great, big timer. Oh. So when I make my 17 misstatements here while I'm trying to read and screw up, it's just because I have performance anxiety. This little piggy is the subject heading. Actually, my big toe, says John, I have been using Tolnaftate for some time now with only a moderate response. I decided against the oral medication because of the liver implications, and I'm taking enough other meds that impact the liver. The podiatrist has said we could try laser treatment. What's your recommendation for the next step?
Well, it's a great question. Tolnaptate is a antifungal treatment. Topical antifungals on fungal toenails have a very low percentage of cure rate, especially if the nail is a little bit thickened. If it's early onset, it might work. However, a lot of times it does not. So we do move on to other treatments. The three remedies that we use in our office, prescription topical medications. There's others besides the tolnaptate that are better potentially. Then there's laser therapy, which can kill the fungus on contact. We usually do three treatments for a toenail or multiple toenails. And then there's the oral remedies, and the one that's most commonly is terbinafine. I just want to talk to John about that for a second.
Okay.
Certainly, you may not choose to go on the oral remedy, John. I just want to just a little bit of a challenge to the liver issues. When they first came out 40 years ago, and I've been practicing for 40 years, it came out and people were concerned about it. It's been out 40 years now, and it's proven to be a very safe medication. And certainly in many cases, we will check the liver enzymes as we put somebody in a medication, but it's very rare to actually cause a liver problem. But if you're on many medications, you have a choice to take it or not. But that's a very much higher cure rate than the topicals.
So this is for fungus?
For fungus toenails.
This is different than athlete's foot, right?
Well, athlete's foot's on the skin, and that's easy to cure with topical remedies.
Right.
This is on the toenails that he's talking about. And because he's talking about laser therapy, which
right.
you only do on the toenails.
Okay.
And that's the medical term is called onychomycosis.
Okay.
So the
athlete's foot, it's when your feet are sweaty and it's dark in there and everything,
yes.
right? Would those shoes that have the separate toes keep your toes spread and possibly reduce the onset of athlete's foot?
No, probably not. And it's a good thought. But you're in a dark environment. It's a moist environment. Temperature is still the same inside the shoes. Until they put air conditioners in your shoes, it's probably not going to make a difference.
Well, you know, not for nothing. You know, they have all these therapies where you put the mask on with
right.
the red lights underneath.
Yes.
You look like Frankenstein mm-hmm. and whatnot. Why don't you do that on shoes?
It's not a bad idea. I think I'm going to leave here and start a business.
Okay, I get a cut. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Douglas Tooman joins us. We begin in Monterey, and Janine, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, I have feet that have very thin skin underneath. There is a bunion and calluses. Very painful to walk on the feet. And have you any suggestions or advice other than padded, spongy insoles for the shoes? That does create some relief, but I'm wondering if you have any other advice.
Hi, Janine, and I'm sorry about your feet. It's not your fault
yeah.
the skin is thin. It's more heredity. And, you know, the bottoms of the feet kind of like tire tread. And as you go through life, they wear down a little bit. So you probably had more fat padding. And it does thin out. And we see that in a lot of seniors. So there are things that can be done. But as you said, a lot of the remedies, you know, we always recommend the thicker-soled shoes with more cushioning. They can be the running shoes. They have more shock absorption. There are different inserts. We use a lot of prescription inserts for people who have thin skin, custom orthotics. There are over-the-counter inserts. There are cushions and pads, moleskin pads. However, you also need to recognize in the house you should wear a shoe, a croc, a clog, something that's got some protection for the bottoms of your feet. But it's not easy because the bottoms of your feet aren't going to change. Those calluses might be helped if you seek regular podiatric care by a podiatrist of your choice. Trimming them down can help alleviate some of the discomfort as well. So those are some of the things. Extra cushions and paddings, yes. Orthotics, a little bit better. Better shoes and wearing shoes all the time can help. But it's not easy, Janine.
There's nothing that could be done by injection or possibly surgery to increase the thickness of the skin underneath.
Yeah, years ago, we injected collagen into
oh, really?
The bottoms. Yeah, it was a long time ago. I remember being at a conference, and they announced this new product, and all the doctors ran out to call the stockbroker to buy the company.
Oh, boy. Didn't go over
just
so
kidding.
Well.
No, but what happened was after using the collagen, we did use it for a while. It's the same thing as anything else. You wear it down, and it was expensive and lasted for a few months, but nothing permanent. So anything that you have, it's wear and tear on the bottom of the foot. It wouldn't work right now. But they're working on things, Janine. But take some of that advice and see a podiatrist. It might help.
Janine, thanks a lot for the call. You know, they tell me that the feet on the skin on the bottom of your feet is the thickest skin you have, right?
Yes, but in the heel area for sure. But up in the ball of your foot, it depends upon your makeup. Some of that skin is very thin.
Huh.
And it's not as thick as some people are very blessed with nice thick skin and not a cushioning, and others aren't. The bones also can drop as you go through life. So what happens is you get, you know, people shrink. Well, the foot drops a little bit too. The ligaments get weak and the bones drop closer to the bottom of the foot. They're not held in the position. And then all of a sudden you're walking on your bones. Not fun.
No, let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Douglas Tooman joins us. Ah, yeah, it's feet. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. It's Ray Graff with you, joined today by our friend Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. It's podiatry today on the show. And let's go back to our phone lines. We go to Warwick, New York, and it's Bo. Bo, what do you know?
Yeah, hi. Thanks
you got
for
it.
Taking my call. Both of my big toes, on the inner parts of them, I have what I call blood blisters, and been confirmed by a foot doctor that's dried blood, but he neglected to tell me what causes them. So I was wondering if you have any info on what might have caused that.
Hi,
no
Bo.
No trauma.
Actually, it's micro trauma, Bo. So what happens is when you walk, a lot of people roll their feet inwards during the gaits, like when you're walking, and that puts extra pressure on the inside of the toe. If you feel the end of the big toe, it's nice and soft, but on the inside, it's very hard. And when you're rolling off of that, it causes what's called a pinch callus. And unfortunately, if you keep rubbing on it, you get a little internal bleeding, and it causes a blood blister or a callus with blood underneath the area. So if it's not painful, doesn't have to be treated. So you can leave it. If you wanted to take a pumice stone or trim it down or have to put it, you can do that. And you've put extra cushions in the shoes. That could help a little bit. But if it's not blistering and it's just getting the dark blood underneath
it's dried,
the skin,
it doesn't bother me at all.
And I would just leave it alone and not mess with it.
Would improper fitting shoes cause that?
It's more likely the way you're walking as opposed to the shoes. But I would also make sure your shoes are round and they have enough room in the toe box so you're not pressing on the side of the shoe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Bo.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for the info.
Thanks a lot. Now, don't you think Bo would have been a prime candidate to have the shoes with the individual toes?
Could be, yeah. Or maybe the shoes with the air conditioning in it.
I've got to see. Okay, so someone brought this up in the newsroom today. I thought they were joking.
Right.
It's a real thing. I've got to see these. I've never seen these once in real life.
Yeah, it's a little harder to fit on your foot, too. You got to take your time, make sure you get them all in the right pocket.
Yeah.
You know, you end up with the big toe and the second toe. It's not so comfortable.
Wow. These really are the end times. Let's go to Mark in Schenectady. Mark, you're on.
Hey, doctor. I play in an over 65 retiree full court basketball at the Y. And I was playing basketball full court, and I went after a ball off the court, ran into the brick wall at the end, bent my toe up. I didn't think there was anything wrong, but now that one big toe is twice its size, and it's been about 3 months now, and so the arthritis, I guess, has already set in. The doctor said there's nothing I could do for that. Is there anything I could do? Because it's really bothering me now when I'm playing basketball, and that's my buddies. I don't want to stop playing because, of course, it's good when you get to be my age to move. So that's my question.
Mark, congratulations on being in the 65. And, you know, at that age, they can't afford to lose anybody on the court because you got to have five on five. So you got to be there. So here's the thing. My guess is that you broke it. You fractured the toe. Fracture and break is the same thing. And that you probably broke it at the joint level or similar, and it never healed properly. And the answer to the question is you're only 3 months out. I would expect it to improve over time because your body has natural healing tendencies. It may take 6 months, it may take a little bit more. When you play, you should strap that big toe so that joint, that knuckle doesn't bend, because as you keep bending it and, you know, jamming it, you keep that trauma going onto the toe. So make sure you tape it up a
so
little
when
bit.
I ran earlier in my when I ran earlier in my life, I used to take the medical tape and tape, like if I hurt something,
yes,
tape it to another.
Well, you can tape it to itself. I just don't want the, it's the big toe, right, that you're talking about?
Yes.
Ray's favorite toe. So you take that big toe and you strap it at the knuckle so you can't bend it. And that will help.
Okay.
You don't have to do it to a second toe when it's the big toe. Just do it to itself and make sure your shoes are nice and stiff and keep playing.
Yep.
You know, you can always have an injection if it hurts a lot, and that'll help with the swelling too.
Okay, Mark, thanks a lot. Why is the big toe my favorite toe?
I thought you said it was your favorite toe. It was the big guy in the block.
Oh, maybe I said that once, but I guess I like all toes
like
equally.
All toes?
I'd like to put that out there right now. Carol in Town of the Day. What does that mean? Carol, you're on.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I have a question.
Oh.
I'm calling from the Town of Day.
Oh, the town. I thought it was the Town of the Day. Oh, so it's Day. All right, you're on. Go ahead.
Just Day. Day, New York.
Gotcha.
Up on the Sacandaga.
Roger that. Go ahead.
Okay. I had foot surgery in December where she went in and clipped my plantar fasciitis due to having plantar fasciitis. I also have a bone spur on my heel. And ever since the surgery, my big toe and second toe are numb, like they have Novocaine in them.
Got it. So the question is, why is it numb?
I'm wondering why.
Yes. Yeah. So you know, typically, you know, that should not happen after the surgery. And it was December, so that may rectify itself over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months. Chances are there was a nerve in the area that got traumatized or severed during the procedure. I don't know for sure, but certainly that might have been the case. And, you know, typically, I just want to mention you had plantar fasciitis and you probably had a recalcitrant case, which meant that it didn't respond to conservative care because a lot of times we don't do the surgery anymore. We have other remedies. So the fact that you had that means that you had a longstanding case that didn't rectify itself with standard care. So you also might have had, I'm not sure about the type of anesthesia, maybe during anesthesia in the ankle, there might have been a nerve that got injured during the anesthesia. Hard to know, but I would do warm soaks and a warm compress and see if that doesn't come back. Massage the area of your foot, and hopefully it'll come back. And you can ask the doctor who did the surgery if that
should she
on.
Check in with the doc?
I would.
Yeah. Okay. Carol.
Okay. Yeah, I have an appointment with her too Wednesday, so.
And just remember,
it's what she says about it.
Yeah. It's not a motor thing. It's a sensory thing. It won't affect your function, so it should be just fine. And you can ask the doctor when you see her.
Now, thanks a lot for the call. Now, quickly, before we go to the next call, plantar fasciitis, we've talked about it a lot. I don't recall hearing about a surgical option because we've talked about a lot of the other. Just briefly, explain what it is, what the new methods of treating it are, and then what the surgery was supposed to do.
So on the bottom of your foot, you have four layers of muscle. On the very bottom, underneath that holds all together, you have a structure called the plantar fascia, which attaches right at the heel bone and goes all the way up towards the toes. Now, that band, it's called fascia, it's very tight. And unfortunately, sometimes it pulls on the heel, and it creates heel pain, especially when you get off your foot and get back on it in the morning, you know, things like that. It's after rest pain. And sometimes it hurts during the day as well. But if it gets inflamed, it can get micro tears. And it's usually right by the heel, sometimes the arch. And it gets, you know, in the old days, very difficult. I'll be brief on this. Joe DiMaggio had a heel spur. And in the old days, they did heel spur surgery before these new techniques ruined his career.
Really?
And they used to make a big incision all the way around the heel and take the spur out. They realized after many years that it wasn't the spur causing the pain. It was the fascia pulling on the spur that causes it and causes the pain. So then they ended up doing plantar fascia releases where they didn't take the spur out. And that worked really well. But fast forward to the last 10, 15 years, now we do other remedies. So the surgery is very rarely done. We do these things called radial pulse therapy or shockwave therapy, and that is a wonderful non-invasive treatment. Of course, there's orthotics and injection therapy and night splints, a lot of conservative therapy. So most of them get it better now without the surgery. And the shockwave or radial pulse RPT treatments we do in our office really limit the amount of surgeries we do now. So maybe one out of 100 patients will have the plantar fascia release.
And Carol did have that, and that is because there was no other way?
Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes you treat a patient and you do three injections or you give them orthotics and not better, and the patient, you know, is hurting and you say, well, let me just fix this.
Yeah.
That may have been the thinking of the doctor, and they may not have a shockwave machine.
A lot of times it'll go away by itself, right?
If you give it enough TLC, it can.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It is podiatry today on this edition of Medical Monday. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll check the email bag in a little bit, but let's stay with the phones for a while. Let's go to Hudson. John, you're on.
Did you say John?
That's you.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I was sorry. So I have two stub toes in one foot and also an ingrown nail on the big toe. So I heard you mention tofalnate earlier, and so the stub toes have kind of, they're, you know, thick and kind of amber colored, like there's something sort of under the nail. It makes it very hard to clip. And then the ingrown toe. So I've used this fungi cure that has the active ingredient tofalnate on them, and it softens it and relieves it, but I'm not sure if that's correcting it. So could you advise me?
Sure. Tolnaftate is a 1% medication that's over-the-counter. It's cleared for over-the-counter use. And I have not had amazing success using that, or nor have my patients, which is why we have other remedies. So there are prescription-strength topical antifungals, John, different names. Jublia is a very common one. There's different other remedies that we prescribe, and that can be a better topical. We often use that in conjunction with urea-based remedies to soften the nail to get the active ingredient. But above and beyond that, that yellow, amberish stuff that you see under the nail, that's fungus. Typically, if somebody came to the office, we will culture that, means we'll take a sample.
How do you get the sample?
We clip the little piece of the toenail. It's not, it's just...
You don't go under the toenail with a... You know,
no, it's non-painful.
Q-tip, something painful.
Non-painful. Good. We clip a little nail, put it in the jar, we send it off, and then we get the result as to which type of fungus it is and which remedies are best. Then we'll have a discussion, is a prescription topical better, or do we want to use laser therapy, want to put you on a pill? And sometimes we'll do all three of those things. So if the tolnaftate's not working, the over-the-counter remedy, see a podiatrist in Hudson.
John.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, John.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. The laser therapy works every time?
No.
Why?
Because nothing works every time.
But why wouldn't the, I mean, it's a
so
laser.
Here's the thing. I always compare it to my gray hair. If I pull up my gray hair, it's coming back gray.
Right.
Sometimes the root of the nail, that's called a matrix, is damaged beyond repair.
Yeah.
So it's not repairable. We can't tell by looking at it if it's repairable or not. So we try all the remedies, and sometimes it doesn't remedy.
So the root matrix of the nail is very important as far as if you're going to get a yellow toenail.
Yeah, well, yes, if you're going to get a healthy nail back, yes. You can have fungus that doesn't affect the root, so it can just be all over the nail, but it doesn't affect the growing nail. So if we can clear the fungus, we can get a healthy nail. But sometimes the nail is completely damaged, like those thick nails that you may have seen.
Yeah,
and
I've seen them.
Those nails are not easy to make normal again, but we try.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates today. And let's go to Crazy Wayne in Middletown. Crazy Wayne, you're on.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. I was on a job about 15 years ago. I'm a union operator, retired. And I was building a bridge, and the crane operator wasn't watching. And we're picking up steel beams. So he picked it up and he rolled it over and whacked my foot and broke all my toes.
Ouch.
So I went to the hospital, and there was nothing to tie it to straighten the toes out. So they just taped it, and that was it. So my toes froze all kinds of crinkly ways. And they said when I retire, I can have them broken in pins because it's a workman's comp case. So I'm wondering, my foot is good. It doesn't hurt. But should I go and have that procedure done and have them break all my toes again?
So crazy, Wayne. That would be a crazy thing to do, I think. So here's my thought on this. Certainly, just for anybody listening, if you go to the hospital and they say nothing you can do, you should follow up because there's often things to do so you don't end up with toes that are all different sizes, shapes, and going in all different directions. But at this point, Wayne, if you can fit your foot into the shoes, you can function normally, you're not having pain, I wouldn't really do anything about that. They healed in a certain way where it didn't leave you with a painful right. toe or arthritic toes. So, yeah, I certainly would have it looked at, but I would be remiss to say that you're a surgical candidate unless you couldn't wear shoes or they were diabetic and you need to put them back in place so you don't get diabetic complications. Yeah.
Wayne.
Right. Because I went to a specialist, because my one big toe, they took x-rays of it, and the girl who took the x-rays said she thought I was going to lose the big toe because it was totally crushed. But So the specialist says, you wear this boot, and he took another x-ray later. He says, well, you're okay until you retire. So.
Yeah, and you did retire. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations on retirement, brother.
Thank you.
Let me
Thank
ask you, don't have to tell me the answer to this, Crazy Wayne, but if it doesn't violate family programming, can you tell me why they call you Crazy Wayne?
Well, since I was a kid down in Jersey, we were at a party and it got a little wild. And ever since I was 15 years old, it's been Crazy Wayne.
All right, man. Well, thank you and good luck with the toes. Appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551. Love it. Let's see. Well, okay. We got time for another one before the next break. Let's go to Chris and Who's a Tonic. Chris, you're on with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Yeah, Douglas. My name's Chris, and I just had I'm just getting over on pneumonia, Douglas. And can I get an ammonia shot?
Can you? Now he's a podiatrist, right, Chris? Well, congratulations on getting over the pneumonia, first of all. But
yeah, so Chris, I would say you need to see your primary care physician and ask about that. Certainly. Every senior, they usually recommend having a pneumonia shot. Can you get it after having pneumonia, having just gotten it? It would have been better if you had it before. But you got to see your primary care physician, Chris, and I hope you feel better.
Did you have bacterial pneumonia or was it viral pneumonia?
It was viral pneumonia, right,
Both
lungs.
Oh, that's bad, man.
You sound good, though.
Glad you're still with us. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Well, we got an extra minute here. Let's go to Matamoros, Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on.
Other than diabetic neuropathy, what would cause a little toe to feel like it's being pinched?
What other than neuropathy from diabetes, doctor, what would it take for a toe to feel pinched?
Well, yes. So, Jim, lots of things can make a little toe feel pinched. Mostly when people come in, it's the shoes that are making it feel pinched because the shoes rub on the little toe. Sometimes you can have a little corn at the end of the nail area or over the little bone area. And it's probably not a neuropathy if it's just the little toe being pinched. It's probably just a little toe irritation and probably related to more soft tissue irritation than a neuropathy thing.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Jim. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it very much. You're not a – and before we go to the break, this also – believe it or not, when Douglas Tooman is going to be on the show, there's a lot of foot talk in the newsroom. And I said, and I'm trying to think, maybe I'm wrong. I said, you're not someone who likes barefoot walking around. Am I wrong about that?
Well, partially. So here's the thing about walking around barefoot. You can't make a blanket statement as good or bad.
Right.
I wouldn't. If you're diabetic, you definitely don't want to walk around barefoot because it opens you up to challenges, complications, things in your feet, infections. If you're a youngster, it's great to walk barefoot, strengthen the muscles and toes and things along those lines.
Yeah.
We live in a world of concrete and cement,
yeah,
and it's not the same. So if you have like that first lady, Janine, she has thin skin, she would be very uncomfortable walking around barefooted.
Right.
If you're normal and you like to walk around barefoot, it's perfectly fine.
Didn't you tell me, though, that you don't even walk barefoot inside your own house?
I don't anymore.
You don't?
Yeah, I don't. I like the feeling of a shoe under my foot. As a runner, I've had different minor injuries.
Yeah.
So it protects my foot. It feels better. And but on the beach, love barefoot.
Okay, yeah.
Grass, love barefoot,
I like to go barefoot on the beach, too, until my wife says,
cover up those toes.
Put some shoes on. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Oh, yeah, a little blues here. And then we'll get back. We'll check the email back. Thank you. tasty. That's Danny Dreher and Blues for CL here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Tons of questions in the email bag. Doug, we're going to do several right now. This is from Kelly. Subject heading, dog hair splinters in feet. I have had a few situations where my dog's hair has stuck in my foot like a splinter, leading to an allergic reaction. After a few spots from this, I have one toe that is I have one toe that is basically always inflamed, and the joint is sore, although I can't see any puppy hair splinters. Could there be lasting effects from these previous reactions?
So, good question, and we see hairdressers and other people that do get, you wouldn't believe that a dog hair can embed itself into a foot, but it can. And it can cause what's called a foreign body reaction.
Yeah.
So your body reacts to that foreign body being in there. It's not really an allergic reaction. It's more of a foreign body reaction that the body puts out. I would say it would be unusual for it to be in your toe and have that last as an inflammatory condition. Usually it's on the bottom of the feet and the ball of the foot, the heel, the arch, wherever it may be. So I would get that checked out. I would see somebody. It may be something else going on, so I'm really not sure. And I would say, please see a podiatrist to see if that's needs something that to be looked at or x-rayed or other, period.
Dr. Doug Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates joins us today. The number is 800-348-2551, and we'll get back to the phones after we take care of a few emails that have come in. This one's from Chris in Athol, Massachusetts. About 10 years ago, I had a Kidner procedure performed to remove an accessory navicular bone in my right foot. There were zero complications. Yesterday, while hiking, my left accessory navicular bone started bothering me. Would you recommend the Kidner procedure be performed again sooner rather than later? And that's from Chris.
Hey, Chris. So on the inside of the foot, let me explain about that bone. Kind of on the inside of the foot beneath the ankle, there's a bone called the navicular bone. And some people, a certain percentage, have an extra bone. Most people live with it, and it doesn't usually hurt. And you did have a symptomatic one you had taken out. I would not recommend preemptive surgery, so to speak. I would say you want to maybe wear a supportive brace or get an orthotic underfoot or some anti-inflammatories or whatever, because it doesn't mean it's going to be an ongoing problem. So I would see a podiatrist or somebody to get some help with that so you don't have to have surgery. It would be, to me, a recalcitrant problem where you tried a lot of things and it didn't work before you had surgery.
Deb writes in, big toe doesn't move. I'm a 72-year-old female who has a big toe that doesn't move. Thinking osteoarthritis, are there toe exercises that can help? Also, other big toe is moving inward. What's with that? And that's from Deb.
Two big toe issues. And
yeah.
That would not be easy to fit in those shoes that you talked about earlier.
The separate toe. Okay.
So the big toe that doesn't move, we have a name for that. It's called the hallux. That's a Latin term for big toe. Rigidus. And it's arthritis in the joint. And if it doesn't move, exercises for that probably are not going to help at this point. The other toe that's moving in, probably a bunion developing. Two different types of problems with the big toe. Hallux valgus, a bunion deformity. Hallux rigidus, arthritis in the big toe joint. And I guess you should see a podiatrist to see what would be best for your situation.
Okay, Russ writes in, CMT on foot. Hi, wife has CMT, which affects both her feet, which associated very high arch and tendency to drop foot. Can anything be done to alleviate some of the pain and dangers of falling due to the drop foot? Do you know what CMT is?
CMT stands for Charcot-Marie Tooth Disease.
Okay.
And it's a neurological disorder that's hereditary and passed down, and it results in a problem with the foot. It's weakness in the foot, as well as deformity in the foot. And certainly in the early stages, we'll use orthotics or other braces. And then ultimately, a lot of people have surgery to correct it.
Okay. We'll do two more, and then we'll just go to the phones for the rest of the show. The phone lines are loaded. Donna writes in, bunions. I have a significant bunion on my left foot. However, it doesn't hurt. I just had bunion, hammer toe, and bunionette surgery on my right foot 7 weeks ago. It's a painful recovery that I'd never want to go through again. My question, is there anything that can keep a bunion from growing into a painful problem? And that's from Donna.
Donna, yeah, it's a hard one. A lot depends. We can have small bunions that are very painful and big bunions that aren't painful. Heredity and other predispositions are going to make that grow. Certainly, your shoes, a wide toe box will help prevent that. You can wear some splints or things that you can get online at nighttime. That might help a little bit. I'm not sure how old you are, but yeah, if it doesn't hurt, I wouldn't fix it. That's the rule of thumb in our office. So keep it. And the surgeries nowadays, sorry you had discomfort, but a lot of the newer procedures are a lot less uncomfortable and painful than the old procedures.
What's a bunionet? I've never heard of that.
Bunionet, same thing as a bunion on the other side of the foot by the little toe.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So it's a Taylor bunion, the old Taylor bunion deformity. When the tailors used to be on the sewing machines, they tap it and then grow a little bump on the outside of the foot.
I thought it was the bunions backup singers. The bunionettes. I have a fifth metatarsal bump on the outside of both feet, says Jay. It's about two-thirds of the way from the front to back, closer to my heels. I've tried all other natural foot shapes, widest models, ultras, topos, etc. Is there a surgery or something I can do for these protrusions?
It depends. It depends if it's on the metatarsal base. That means the bottom of the metatarsal. We probably will not fix that. If it's on the top, that's what we just talked about with the Taylor bunion, and that can be remedied and surgically corrected. So it depends upon where it is, and usually we don't fix them at the bottom of the bone, but we do at the top of the bone.
All right, let's go back to our phones right now with Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's try to get through as many of these many calls as we can. Let's go down to lovely Somers and our good friend Cookie. Cookie, how are you? You're on.
Hi there. Okay, I'm a 90-year-old who rotates wearing soft leather sneakers with a wide toe box, and I still get calluses. What can I apply to prevent them or keep them soft? Now I have to scrape them after showering. I'd rather not continue doing that.
Okay.
So, Cookie, not easy. 90 years old. Congratulations. You sound great. You sound wonderful.
Thank you.
Make sure you're wearing, we talked about this earlier with Janine, thick-soled shoes in the house, Crocs, you know, clogs, thick-soled sneakers that have cushioning in them. If you don't want to scrape them, I think that's wise. But you may need to see a podiatrist. We have a lot of senior care where people come in with calluses, so they don't want to scrape them, and the podiatrist can help you with the calluses periodically. You're not going to have surgery. There are moleskin pads that you can wear, which are cushions you can put on
moleskin,
there.
Moleskin, did you say?
Yeah, the little moleskin pads. And then there's different gels that you can put on the areas. But not easy. They're not going to go away. They just need maintenance care, you know, so to speak, Cookie.
What kind of gels will keep them softer, at least?
Well, you can look online. It's not gonna. It just helps them from being painful. But there's different types of creams, like urea cream, that can keep them softer. The gels might help keep it softer. But hard to give you a brand name, Cookie.
Darn it. Okay. Well, urea.
Urea. U-R-E-A. Urea cream. You can get over the counter,
okay.
Yep. And then
gels, you said.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And you can find those over the counter.
Yep.
Okay. Cookie,
well,
thanks.
That's a big help. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Lisa's in Williamstown. Lisa, you're on with Doug Tooman. Or not. Hello. Lisa. She's been waiting.
Hi.
Oh, there,
Hi.
You, there you are. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
I would like to ask what can be evaluated for the what I'm told is the dorsal aspect of my midfoot stabbing pain that went over the top.
Sure. You have a lovely phone voice,
top.
Lisa.
Over the top meaning?
Yes, I get it. Top here.
No. Over the top meaning if it was 0 to 10, it was
yeah.
Whoa, bad pain.
So over the top. You're a top 10. Okay, so basically, midfoot pain is usually a combination of arthritis and nerve pain on the top of the foot, the dorsal aspect of the foot. And we do a lot of injections. Yep. We do a lot of topical medicines. I would see a podiatrist, and we give patients relief with the injection therapy. Some come every 3 months, 6 months, once a year, but that does help. And non-surgical topical compounds with medications to calm it down also helps a lot, Lisa.
All right. Well, thank you for your expertise.
You're welcome.
Ray, you're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Lisa, you got a great voice, and thank you for calling, and good luck with the pain. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's go to Glens Falls. Maureen. Hello, Maureen. You're on.
Oh, thank you. Listen, I have kind of a weird problem. I started out about, 10, 11 years ago. I had a back surgery, and then I was injured, and I had another back surgery, and then I couldn't have any more. But several years ago, I had a bad fall, and
I just had to be in bed for about 6.5 months.
Wow.
And then my back healed, and I have not had any more back pain since then. However, my left leg, something happened with that. I don't know what, but the calf muscle has deteriorated, and I have, like, barely any feeling in my foot, except that it feels like I have a sock on that's way too tight.
Yikes.
Can't feel my toes very well.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's weird.
So, Maureen, your back caused your foot issue. Whatever happened in there with the arthritis and nerve damage has affected your foot with weakness, numbness, and discomfort, and that feeling of sock on your foot. That's called neuropathy, radiculopathy. It's basically when it comes from your back. And again, physical therapy and strengthening exercises as best you can. But this is a long-term permanent injury that has stemmed from your back.
Should she go to a neurologist and have it checked
out? She can. I'm not sure how much they can do about it, but neurologists and orthopedic or spine doctor, they can look at this, yeah.
Maureen?
Yes.
Do you want to follow up?
Well, I did go to have physical therapy, and on my... you know, for my back and my leg. And
it's probably not going to help the numbness.
Really,
yeah, it's not going to help the foot numbness.
Good,
yeah.
No.
I was talking about for the strength in your calf muscle to keep that strong, because you don't want to fall and, you know, look into potentially getting supportive brace.
I think I need to get a supportive brace.
Yeah, I think that'll be helpful.
Can this progress?
No, it's not going to progress. What you have is what you have. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, just stay strong and keep yourself, you know, as active as you can.
All right, Maureen.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks a lot, Doc.
Yeah, appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Dr. Doug Tooman from Hudson Valley Foot Associates is with us. Hang on. I'm losing my voice. It's an old age thing. Caroline or Carolyn in Loudonville, you're on.
Thank you. I have something that used to be called chilblains, and my first question is, does that go away with warm weather? And the second question is, the vascular doctors have suggested that I have a little camera put in the femoral vein and go down toward my feet to see if there's any blockage. But this is in the very tip of the toes.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Carolyn, there's two different questions and two different answers. Just quickly, chilblains is still a common term. Also, people use the term rainouts now, and this has been the most busy season I've ever had for rainouts,
really?
Chilblains
just
patients.
Really? Because it was been so cold?
So cold without any warm-up.
Yeah.
So I've seen people who've never had it before, and people who had it before have it worse than ever. And chilblains and rainouts, basically it's called a vasospasm, which means the tiniest blood vessels, whether it's your hands, your tips of your fingers, your toes, those little blood vessels, even if you have excellent circulation, they cramp down a little bit from the cold, and you can get little infarcts or bruising or blisters. Not necessarily dangerous that you're going to lose your toes, but it is painful, and we do always talk about prevention and precaution, keeping the feet warm and so on and so forth. The second part of your question is, if you've seen a vascular doctor and they're recommending that, I usually go with what the vascular doctor recommends just to make sure that everything is open and you don't have any blockages. So please go forward with your vascular doctor if you like them, or get a second opinion from the vascular doctor. But I would move forward with that.
Okay. And you covered both questions?
Yes.
All right. Carolyn, you all right?
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. All right. Now to Oswego County and George. George, where are you in Oswego County?
Tom in Westford.
All right. Well, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Lee. Thanks for doing this, Doctor.
My pleasure.
I'm at old age, and every day, every night is like a challenge, you know, to get to sleep and stay feeling well and sleeping. And we have a small farm. We're trying to maintain after many years. So I woke up this morning, and I had a pain in my left leg, only my foot. I have an artificial knee in that leg, and the left foot, the arch, was giving me a big pain, like from right across the arch of the inside of the foot there.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why, since I woke up well with no pain at that hour, and 9:30, and I said, I told, and then I figured out an idea. I said to my wife, "Is this a nerve that's causing this?"
Well, so what do you think, Doc?
Do you have anything about that?
Yeah, George.
I have it right now. It's like periodic in the morning.
Right. Yep.
Here's the good news. You had it, it's gone, and you're feeling better. So sometimes just a muscle spasm or a cramp in the arch that can do that. And my recommendation is if you keep getting this, you need to go to a doctor, just check the circulation, make sure there's not a circulation issue. But right now, you can do some warm soaks, massage it, make sure you got a nice arch support. But it's a one-time deal, so hopefully you're going to be fine. And if it comes back, go see a doc.
Great.
Okay.
All right, George, thank you so much. And now to Stormville, and it's Jane. Hello, Jane.
Hi.
You're on.
Hi. Yeah, I've had metatarsalgia in mostly my right foot, but the other foot a little bit, for like 12 years. And now I've got plantar fasciitis in the right foot. And I've been wearing a boot and compression socks. And, you know, it'll go away, but then 2 days later it's back. Anything I can do, though.
So where is the pain, Jane?
In the heel, my right foot heel.
So, you know, you're doing a lot of the right things. The boot, the overnight boot, the plantar fascial night splint is a very big help. But if you're not getting better, then you need to have it looked at either by x-ray or ultrasound, see if there's inflammation in there. Potentially anti-inflammatory treatment. Home care would be icing or ice massage. Home care might be, you know, wearing a shoe in the house. But then you may need to see a podiatrist to see if you need treatment, whether it be an injection or an anti-inflammatory or an orthotic or an arch support, just different things, or other remedies for plantar fasciitis we talked about earlier, like the radial pulse therapy treatment. So don't suffer. It sounds like not the worst case because it goes away. But if it keeps coming back, then I would see somebody.
Okay. I already got the orthotics for the metatarsalgia, though, of my...
Well, sometimes it's different for the heel. You need some modifications for the heel. So you might... I'm not saying you need new orthotics, but you might need other treatment, Jane.
Okay. Jane, thanks a lot. We're just about out of time here. A couple people wanted to talk about orthotics, and Georgia in Western Mass, we really don't have time to go to Georgia, but had back surgery, big sneakers versus good shoes. Tie that all in with orthotics in 20 seconds. Go.
And Georgia is too far to go to.
Hey, no.
So, yeah, it depends upon what the issues are. But we love orthotics. We use them routinely, and they help so many conditions. You need to wear them in good shoes and not a replacement for poor shoes. And just a good pair of orthotics can last a good number of years. And just basically see a good specialist, a good podiatrist that can help you with a good device.
It's a tough question, especially since Georgia couldn't make it on the air, but sneakers versus good shoes after back surgery.
I'm a big fan of good sneakers, but good shoes can work too.
All right, fair enough. Dr. Doug Tooman, well, I'll tell you what, it's been a busy show.
Yes.
You'll be back on in, what, 4 or 5 months, right?
4 months.
So we'll see you soon. Support comes from Stinging Nettle Botanics, Main Street, Catskill, New York, offering handcrafted organic herb-based products incorporating natural herbal remedies into daily life. StingingNettleNY.com. Thanks again to Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for being here today. Dr. Doug will be back again soon. So all you people who didn't get through on the line today or get your emails read, we'll do it again. I just trust me on that. Mike Bowen's our engineer. Jim Montier screened the calls. Thank you, Jim. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we'll head outdoors with the folks from the New York State DEC. That's not exactly true. Our microphone cables won't reach outdoors. But we're going to pretend radio is the theater of the mind. So we'll have Jeremy Hurst and Dave. Oh, I wrote his name down, but he's a new guest. We'll have two people from the New York State DEC here, and we'll see them tomorrow at 2:00.